A dark cloud hung over the little town of Bethany. So many emotions filled the atmosphere. Grief, sorrow, doubt, uncertainty, perhaps even anger, because there were those that even said, couldn't Jesus have done something if he healed the blind and so on? All this darkness, all of these emotions. Poor Lazarus had died. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. Lazarus was a neighbor to many of those villagers in Bethany. And of course, he was the friend of Jesus, the most important point of all. Jesus loved Lazarus. The gospel even says that Jesus wept. Jesus delays his coming, but keep in mind what he says. This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So when our Lord arrives at Bethany, Martha greets him. Notice how Martha professes great faith and hope in Jesus, whom she loves. She says, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Our Lord responds with a saying, a teaching, that all of us should have memorized. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life. With that proclamation, though, Jesus then asks Martha, point blank, do you believe this? Martha, again, with that deep faith and hope for love of Jesus, says, yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. With that, the Lord went to the tomb. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He commanded Lazarus to come out. Keep in mind, Lazarus is returning back to this time and space, back to this life, with its joys, but also its sorrows, its sufferings. Lazarus will again face death. But here's a miracle, and that's the important point. Our Lord performed miracles to show he truly is the Son of God. He has that divine power to do only what God can do. So he does cure the blind man, the cripple, the paralytic, the woman with the hemorrhage, and now we have raising a dead man back to life. So Jesus truly shows he's the Son of God. He also fulfills all the prophecies, even as we heard in Ezekiel. He does what the Messiah is supposed to do. Here, though, is the last miracle in the Gospel of St. John that our Lord performs. It lays the foundation, though, the stage for the greatest miracle of all. For a short time from here, our dear Lord goes to the cross. He suffers. He dies. Once again, like a dark cloud, overcame the earth on that Good Friday. Once again, all kinds of emotions. So the grief, the sorrow, the doubt, the uncertainty, even anger and contempt. Our Lord, though, did not just simply die. On Easter, he rose from the dead. So with the eyes of faith, we see a whole new day that dawned that Easter Sunday. A new light, an unquenchable light, scattered the darkness. Now, a joyful Alleluia was proclaimed. Christ had risen. So Jesus has conquered suffering and made it redemptive. He's conquered sin and offered forgiveness. He's conquered death and offered everlasting life for those who believe. The challenge then, my brothers and sisters, is to ask ourselves, and we could say Christ is asking us this day, do you believe? We begin Passiontide this day. So from this time on in the gospel, Jesus goes into hiding until he comes triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which we'll celebrate next week. Notice, though, that our crucifix, sacred images, are all covered to show that hiding. So really, it's a time for us to pause and reflect sincerely on our own faith, to say to ourselves, do I truly believe? We're called, especially as we're preparing to celebrate Easter, to be able to say that day, yes, Jesus, I truly believe that you are the Lord, the Savior, the Son of God. I truly place my trust and hope in you. I truly love you above all things. That's how we must answer the question. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this day, we have to be mindful that ours is a living faith. It's not a faith of just this world. It's a living faith. Yes, we know we go through life, but we go life with Christ. We walk each day with him, the Good Shepherd, the risen Lord, who leads us not just through verdant pastures when life is good. He leads us through the dark valleys when life is tough. But we walk each day with him. And one day we know that even though we face a physical death in this life, we pass to an everlasting life in heaven. So St. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, what can possibly separate us from the love of Christ? Persecution, trial, the sword, fire, hunger, sickness, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's risen. But we have to have that profound faith, hope, and love in him. So my brothers and sisters, in this time of unpleasantness, when we have all this emotion over the coronavirus, life has changed dramatically, this is a time, especially for us, to quietly be with our Lord, to know that he is present, and to affirm ourselves in the belief, as Jesus said, all of this will work out for the glory of God. So, what should we be doing between now and Easter especially? Well, first of all, take time for prayer. So, it's wonderful that you're tuning in to see us in virtual reality here. That's wonderful. Keep in mind, though, that the church is also open, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. You can come here and pray before our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. So take that time for prayer. As a family, though, this is a time when, definitely, you could say the family rosary. Let that become a good part of your family practice. Pray for the intentions, not only of yourselves, but for the doctors and other healthcare workers, for those who are suffering during this time in whatever way. Pray for those intentions. The rosary's a powerful weapon. This is a time when you can increase your spiritual life by reading the Bible, sacred scripture. You can even watch good religious movies. This past week, PBS had A Man for All Seasons on through that website called Formed. You have access to all kinds of good religious movies. A good possibility, especially during this time, would be Jesus of Nazareth or even The Passion of the Christ. So ways to increase our faith. And really, that's part of prayer, even watching those good movies. They make us meditate. And then also, study. St. Dominic always said that it is through study that we also pray. So this is a time when you parents should not only be working with your kids with their schoolwork, but also their religious schoolwork, their catechism, their catechesis and religious formation. Here again is a very blessed opportunity when you as a family, especially parent and child, can be working together to come to a more solid faith and increase that faith in your own lives. It's interesting that the other day, a grandmother of one of our altar servers, he's in fifth grade, said that little Braden leads the family in the rosary each day, and little Braden is reading the Bible. Wonderful. Another father emailed me and said that even though it's sad that we can't gather as a parish for Holy Mass, nevertheless, as a family, they're watching, as you are now, and they're more engaged. And the kids have to learn better the responses and pay attention to what is actually happening at Mass. So those are good things that bring about the presence of Christ, knowing that he's here, even during this difficult time. St. Padre Pio reminded us, pray, hope, and don't worry. Anxiety doesn't help at all. Our merciful Lord will listen to your prayers. The second challenge for us spiritually is to purify ourselves. We're in a different time. Our routine has totally changed. And yet, I've seen such goodness come out of this. I've seen families taking walks. I've seen kids playing in the neighborhood. There's no more organized kinds of sports, so they have to play and make up games. That's wonderful. People are taking time to just enjoy life as a family with games or doing projects together, helping each other in different ways. I was at Home Depot the other day picking up a few things for my mom as well as for the parish, and I ran into several parishioners. Home Depot was packed of all things, and they're all telling me how at this time they're working together as a family on different projects, sometimes just cooking together, things that may not have been done in the regular routine. That's where purification has to come, because in our society here, we can become so busy, so overscheduled, so overworked that we don't take the time we should for our family, for our loved ones, and really for the enjoyment of life. So this could be a purification where when we get through this time, we say, I'm not going to go all back to that kind of slavery of busyness and overscheduling and rushing here and there. No. This has been good. So God does bring goodness through all this. And then, too, we need to be positive. To be positive, first of all, be grateful. We're very blessed. Sometimes we take things for granted until we lose them. And so our life has changed. But we should be grateful for the country in which we live, grateful for the leadership that we have. We're very blessed to live in this country right here and now. And we know we've been through worse times, and we have persevered as a country. And also, too, in looking at being positive, we need to also be generous. So, yes, there may be our own concerns, but we need to be mindful of those, especially the elderly, those who may be by themselves, in our neighborhood, even in our extended family. We need to be mindful of them. Call them. Help them in whatever way that person may need. It makes such a difference when an elderly person recognizes that someone cares. And then, too, we should laugh. And that's part of being positive, too. We could be overwhelmed with all the doom and gloom news. Granted, we have to watch the news, but we don't need to watch it all day. One news report or the president's update is plenty of news for anyone. Do something to make yourself laugh. I was watching I Love Lucy the other day, and I laughed. And I watched Jackie Gleason from the 1950s. I laughed. And there's a British sitcom called Are You Being Served on Channel 22. I laughed. Enjoy a good laugh. We need to have that. And even with that, we can also just laugh at the circumstances. For instance, I was in the Giant store about a week and a half ago doing shopping for my mom, and I was really going down the aisle where all the toilet paper and the paper towels are and barren shelves. And they had been barren for a long time. And I was just looking, at these barren shelves. And another fellow came down with his cart. He's about my age, so just over 30. And he's looking at the shelves too. And my little sarcastic self said, "Well, I always wanted to live in the old Soviet Union." And he just laughed. And he said, "Yeah, too bad people have to hoard." And then I said, "Yeah, I saw somebody, a lady with a shopping cart, and she had 8 huge pizzas and 6 dozen eggs. What do you do with all of that?" And the man said, "Well, maybe she wants to eat pizza as she's hatching those eggs." So you have to laugh at times at the circumstances. It can't be all doom and gloom. St. Philip Neri said, "Cheerfulness strengthens the heart and makes us persevere in a good life." So far we have pray, purify, be positive. Last one is be patient. We need patience, because you probably aren't used to living with each other so much all the time. So you need to be patient with each other. My brother Joe told me that he and his wife Sherry are homebound, working from home for each of their jobs. So my brother Joe said to me, "Well, if you hear of a double murder, you know who it is." He was just laughing in jest. And I said, "Well, don't worry, this too will pass." And he responded, "Yeah, like a kidney stone." Well, be patient. It will pass. But the key is, this is really a grace time when we look at it. We have to have that optimism that is really an expression of our faith in a risen Lord. We will be able to grow closer to our Lord. We'll be able to prioritize what is important. And this will work out for the glory of God. St. Paul said, "For those who love God, everything works out for good." So my brothers and sisters, as we begin Passion Tide and we look ahead 2 weeks to Easter, let us ask for God's grace to have a deeper faith, a more profound hope, and definitely a strong love for our Lord. It's interesting that the word corona comes from the Greek word crown. Well, think of it this way, instead of the negative virus way, that as St. Paul said, if we keep the faith and we run the race and we fight the good fight, a merited crown awaits us in heaven. Live life with a living Christ. May God bless you.